Show me your teeth. Show me your teeth.
Welcome to Vampire Hype episode number 46. Woo, we're back. Hey.
Hi, guys.
It's just Kristen and I for this episode. And actually, that just about looks like what it's going to be for the most of the season, actually.
Yeah, we might have a guest host here and there. But for the most part, I think we will be your cruise directors for season six. So
yeah, and season Fred. Fret not, because we are going to rock it. We have so many opinions between the two of us. I feel like we'll have, like, plenty to talk about.
Definitely.
So, we're back with episode number 46 to discuss what we haven't discussed last season. We know a lot of you guys were kind of upset that we didn't talk about the season finales for the Vampire Diaries or the originals. So, we're going to talk about the major points that happened in both shows, as well as any summer announcements and season 6 and season 2 news for TBD and originals. So let's just get down to it. I think the biggest point that we have to talk about that everyone is going to be pissed if we don't talk about is Bonnie and Damon, obviously.
Yes.
So,
because it's all anyone can think of. It's, you know, it's the big moment. It's the cliffhanger. It's the only thing on Vampire Diaries that we're like, wait, what?
Yeah. It's so weird because we're really confused. But at the same time, it's like, I'm not concerned at all. You know
what
I mean?
It's hard to be concerned because in the past, and especially last season, death meant nothing. Like, you know, the characters died, they went to the other side, we still saw them, they came back, oh look, they're back, yeah, they're not dead anymore. death has never really been a permanent thing, except for Jenna, who yeah. apparently just is dead.
Yeah. Back,
sorry. It's never really meant the same thing. Like, it's always kind of been a temporary state of being. So now that death is going to be a permanent thing and there isn't anywhere to go, and Bonnie and Damon are the last two possible converts, like, they might be able to make it back, we don't know, that's gonna change things. But right now it's hard to panic because we know that Ian and Kat are gonna be back for next season. Like, we know we're gonna see them, but we just don't know what's going on with it or where they're taking it. So it's okay to not be nervous because we know they're going to be on screen.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that kind of, it takes the cliffhanger away, you know? Like, I feel like if they'd played it off with this gigantic, like, spoiler, like, fence, and they kept that spoiler away until this season, everyone would still be like, wait, what's happening? I don't understand what's going on. But because we know that they're coming back in some way or another, and because Julie Plack has specifically stated that the first half of the season is going to be about them getting back, and then the second half is going to be about something else. So it's like, alright, so they're obviously probably going to make it back by the second half of the season. So now it's like, well, what's the point of this cliffhanger then, you know?
Well, but hopefully it will define clearly where they were, what happened to save them, because as far as we know, there is no, you know, supernatural limbo. Like, there's nowhere for them to go and hang out for years before they cross over. So hopefully this first half of the season will really give us a solid footing of where we stand now, what's going to happen when someone dies. Like, are they, you know, gone, or is there some random thing that we'll see them in that's short term, or, you know, like, we'll get a solid idea of where we stand as far as these shows go, and death, and then we'll be good to go for the rest of the season. I mean, we all know that the Travelers weren't exactly the formidable foes that we all thought they could have been. Like, it ended up being kind of lackluster. And so hopefully this season, this whole collapsing of the other side thing will be a good, it'll be a really good way to center all the characters again, and then the second half of the season, hopefully somebody really terrible comes to be a really big force in Mystic Falls and the surrounding area.
Yeah, I agreed. I feel like that's a really good point. Plus, I really hope that they don't have, like, a billion different enemies like they did last season. Because last season was... it was all over the place in terms of, like, enemies and baddies. Because there was... Oh, I don't remember any of their names.
Well, I mean, you had... With the Travelers, it's kind of one of those faceless enemies. Because the problem with the Travelers is that there's so many of them. And because there's so many of them, they're powerful. Like... They tried to, you know, give them a face. I can't think of his name right now.
You see? His name is, like, escaping me.
It's because we didn't really get to talk to him. Like, we didn't get to know him. He's not a character I care about. Like, Klaus, Rebecca, Elijah, Finn, Esther, Michael. These are characters in the past that were such big forces and were so evil and horrible that you can't help but remember them. But with this guy, whose name I cannot recall at all, he just wasn't important. Like, he showed up for 2 episodes, he did some not so great things, and then he disappeared, and it was like, oh, okay. So that's exactly why you don't remember him.
And I keep wanting to call him Xandu, but that's from Charmed, so it's like, nope. And then there's also the big witch bitch. What's her name? The original witch? Not the original witch, Esther. Obviously. What?
Esther?
No, not Esther. The other witch that trapped Elena and Stefan in the cabin. And that was Stefan.
Oh!
That was Style, whatever his name's, True Love.
Yes.
It was her. And then there's also Stefan's doppelganger. So, too many big baddies last season.
Yeah, and then, you mean, it was just... I think we all can agree that it wasn't one of their better seasons. And so, because of that, we've got a lot... This season can go to really great places if they just keep themselves centered. Which I think is... I think that's part of it. I think they know that last season wasn't so great. The finale was really great, I thought. But besides that, it had a lot of struggles, and so I think they're aware of that too, and so this season hopefully will be a little better. We also know that, I mean, believe it or not, you know, Julie Plec was stretched kind of thin last year. I mean, she was working on Vampire Diaries, she was working on Originals, and she was also working on The Tomorrow People. And because of that, maybe that was part of the problem. Tomorrow People got canceled, didn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Tomorrow People, you know, was canceled. Vampire Diaries is still around. The Originals is still around. But those two worlds work together so well that I don't think her working on both of those is going to be a major problem. But I think maybe 3 shows was just a little much to do all at once. And so now maybe since it's just the 2 shows for her, like, she'll really be able to rein it in and make sure that both have a really cohesive story.
Oh, yeah. I agree completely. Plus, at Calmicon, she stated that they're getting back to the original season 1 formula of Vampire Diaries, where it's less about, like, topping themselves with big baddies and mythology, but it just gets back to suspense and mystery. So that's going to be amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds amazing. I can't wait.
Right? It's going to be amazing! Okay. Next point we have to discuss is Stefan and Elena, because
yeah.
Paul Wesley has made it abundantly clear that Stefan is over Elena. Like, I honestly don't know how many times he said it at our roundtable at Comic-Con, and probably how many times he said it at every single roundtable at Comic-Con, but I think he's over it. He's like, I'm done. Like,
okay,
I have a feeling he went to Julie and he was like, I'm done with the love triangle. I can't do this anymore.
Okay, here's the question. Are they doing that so that when they end up together at the end of the series, it's, like, really comforting for Stelena fans? Or are they doing it because it's actually over? I mean, one way to temper the outrage of it is to say it's over. Stefan's moving on. Him and Caroline are going to be together, and they're together for, you know, a season or two, whatever, however much time we have left. Maybe a season, two seasons. I don't know. We deal with the Stefan Caroline of it all. And the series finale, you know, one season from now, three, four, seven, I don't know, seasons from now, Stefan and Elena, you know, are in the same room for the first time in a long time, and Damon has died tragically or something, and they decide that they need each other and they're together and that's how the show ends? Or are they actually done? Like, that's the question now, I think, is there room for reconciliation way in the distant future for them, or is it literally over and they're just going to let Damon and Elena be together finally?
Those are the two options they have, because I feel like if they get back together, like, in the middle of the season, I'm just going to be pissed, because, like, I totally and completely understand that The Vampire Diaries was intended to be a show about a love triangle. However, it's gone back and forth so many freaking times that I'm just done. I'm like, just pick one.
Well, and I think the real problem is that they haven't really allowed Damon and Elena time to be a couple together without trying to break them up. Like, even when they've had a moment to be a couple and be together, they've always had someone breaking them up, or Stefan being jealous, or someone being angry at them, like Caroline, because she doesn't like Damon and she just can't handle it. Like, they haven't had the opportunity to just be a couple like Stefan and Elena were, so it almost feels like they're trying to not weight them as an equal part of the triangle, and because of that, it just feels wrong. Like, if Damon and Elena had a season, or a season and a half, 2 seasons, to be a couple and to deal with what was coming up, you know, what was coming at them as a couple, just like Stefan and Elena did in seasons 1 and 2 and, you know, part of 3, if they would have had that behind them, I feel like it would have felt a little more weighted. Like, it would have felt even. But as stands, like, we all know that Stefan and Elena were together. Delana was kind of together. And so it just feels disingenuous that Stefan is still angry about it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because Damon and Elena have not gotten a proper time to be together at all. And it's not fair.
Yeah.
So I completely agree with you there. I feel like...
Now, the Caroline of it all. I am super excited.
I really want them together so bad, and I don't know why.
Yeah, like, I really think they would be good together. Whether it's just as really great friends, like, they get really close and they don't cross the line because neither of them need the line crossed, or whether they actually become a romantic pairing, I don't really care. I just love Stefan and Caroline being really close. Like, that works for me on so many levels. I'm so excited to see them, like, bond.
Because they get along so well, and they're just, like, the chemistry between them is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's weird, because I feel like Stelena fans are going to hate us, but, like, whatever. Like,
it's not that I don't like Stelena.
No.
Because I do. I love Stefan, and I don't mind him with Elena if that's how it's going to be. Like, I really don't mind it. But it's just, at this point, it needs to move. Something needs to happen. Stefan needs to be happy on his own outside of her. And then maybe she can earn the chance to have him back. Like, at this point, I think Elena kind of needs to earn Stefan, because he's been so true and good to her.
We'll see, like, the issue I had with Stefan and Elena at the end of their relationship was Stefan attempting to control who Elena was. And like, just basically being like, oh no, you're not, like, you're getting the cure. Like, I don't care what you want. Like, you're getting the cure. You're not going to be a vampire. Like, I hated that. I hated it so much.
Yeah, but in all honesty, so did Damon. He had every intention of forcing that cure down her throat. And then, you know, he changed his mind, and this happened not in their favor. And I mean, it's really hard because they've made a lot of mistakes. But hopefully, if, you know, if Stelena is meant to be endgame, which I know we've all kind of thought in the back of our minds, whether we believe it or not, or want to believe it or not, we've all kind of thought that if that's eventually where the show is going to end up, they both have a lot of ground to make up to earn each other back. Like, they both need to work on themselves and what they need and what they want in order to get back to each other.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting development as the series progresses. Not just the season, but as the series.
Definitely.
Next up, we have someone we have to talk about. Alaric!
I can't even tell you how excited I am to have Matt Davis and Alaric back on The Vampire Diaries. I think this right here is the one reason that I am, like, super excited for this season. I want our drinking buddies together. I don't know how long we're going to have to watch them on opposite sides of whatever barrier is between them, but I want Damon and Alaric in the same room drinking whiskey by mid-season. Like, it has to happen.
Oh, yeah. It can't not happen. It has to happen. Absolutely. Because, I mean, Alaric's back. You can't, like, bring him back and not have him be drinking buddies with Damon. That's just wrong.
I mean, Dalaric is so many... It's one of those things that happened and happened right. Like, them being friends is so wrong, it's right. And that... Ugh, I've missed it so, so much.
I have a feeling during the beginning of the series, or the season, they're going to have Alaric at the bar drinking, just like they had Damon at the bar drinking, and Alaric's going to be like, here's to you, buddy, and, like, Damon's going to be on the other side or whatever, and be like, yeah, here, like, ah!
It's gonna be. Did you see the interview that Matt and Julie, it wasn't really an interview, but they kind of talked about, I think Julie talked about what Matt had said to her at the end of last season. He was like, Julie, I love you, but I can't come back for these little mini things. Yes. Where I don't get to talk to anyone because it hurts.
Yes.
And he was like, I just, you know, like, I love everyone on the show, but it just hurts. And she was like, how about we just bring you back?
Yep.
And I'm like, what? Like, that's so awesome. Like, that he loves coming back so much, but it just, like, literally physically hurt to come back and see everyone and not be able to be there all the time. And now he's just, like, back. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, when he said that story at Comic-Con at our round table.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and he and all the girls at the table were like, "Oh,
it's so cute."
It was adorable, and I'm just, he is really happy to be there, and you can tell that from his demeanor. Like, he was so awesome and so kind, and, like, he was, like, just really excited to talk about the season, and it was just, it was so nice, and it was such a change from, like, certain other people from the cast who were at the convention. Mm-hmm. But seeing Matt Davis be so excited makes me excited, because we know that he's probably going to get some really good stuff this next season.
The only other thing, because this wasn't in our notes, so I'm going off book. The only other thing that this season could bring that I think we should talk about is Tyler. I'm not sure how this whole him not being a hybrid, not being a werewolf at this point is going to end up. But can we just, like, remark on the fact that Matt has another human friend for, like, 5 minutes?
Oh, that's so
Matt,
sweet.
Matt and Tyler goodness. Are now human together. Like,
as long as Tyler doesn't murder anyone, he's fine.
Exactly. If he can just keep those murderous tendencies
Which,
to himself
I feel like
for
most
while.
People tend to be able to get away with in life is not murdering someone. But, I mean, this is also Mystic
apparently
Falls.
Harder in Mystic Falls. Right, exactly. It's harder in Mystic Falls to keep that murderous streak aside. Like, it's hard to keep it under control. No, but, like, we already know that Matt is kind of going to get some real work with this whole no magic thing, which we'll get into later. But I'm really, really happy that Tyler and Matt might be able to kind of bond, because I liked them as friends back in the day, but we haven't really seen them together in a while, because Tyler's been off being a crazy hybrid and doing ridiculous, crazy things. And so I'm kind of excited if he stays human for a little while, at least, that him and Matt might have some time to bond again and be friends.
And he has to stay human for at least, like, half the season, because, like, it's going to be a complete waste of, like, having changed him back if they don't, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those choices that, like, they probably know that if they pull the trigger too quick on that, they're going to regret it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it, and I actually really want to talk about it, and I didn't realize I want to talk about it until you mentioned it. I remember we had a conversation, you and I, where I'd completely forgotten that magic was eradicated from all of Mystic Falls. Because I don't know, I just forgot. Like, I thought because, like, the whole Traveler thing was done, and because everything else was done, that the magic thing was done. But, like, no, so...
It's not.
Apparently, all magic is now, like, expressly forbidden from Mystic Falls. Not just forbidden, but, like, you literally, like, there's a boundary, and, like, if you cross it, you turn human?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you turn human.
No.
I think...
Do you die?
It undoes the spell, and whatever that means, we're not entirely sure.
Now I remember. They were reverting back to their original form before they turned it supernatural, and their original forms for, like, everyone, except Tyler, just so happened to be dead.
Right, but for Tyler, while it was painful and while he actually died, he, because he's a hybrid, can survive it? I don't know.
I think, but did he? No.
I get a little confused.
He didn't, okay, no. Oh, okay, so here's how Tyler survived. Tyler survived because his original form before any magic thing took him was a kid who just pushed a girl down the stairs. Like, no, like, he was completely a-okay. It was when he was a werewolf that Klaus had killed him and turned him into a hybrid.
Right.
So, because...
Undoing the magic behind the werewolf curse...
Yeah.
Brings him back to being alive.
Exactly. So it was the original werewolf curse that the spell worked on.
Right.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, but, like, basically, if Elena goes in, she'll drown. If Damon goes in, or Seven, they get shot.
Again.
basically, everyone... Except, I wonder what happens if Bonnie is, like, I want to know if Bonnie's a witch again, too. Like, I'm just confused. Like,
well, and again, that will depend on when she gets back. Because wherever the heck she is and whatever Grams did, because we all know it's Grams working her magic on the other side that is the only reason Bonnie and Damon aren't just gone. Whatever Grams did, I would imagine she'll get her powers back.
I think the only reason she
didn't have them was because she was the link. Like, she was the crossing.
Yes. Yeah, because she was still, like, half dead and half, like, not dead, so she didn't have her powers.
Yeah, she was the anchor. So because of being the anchor, she couldn't have magical abilities and be both alive and dead and on both sides. You know, she couldn't connect those worlds with her powers intact. So... they had to kind of take away her ability to do magic. So hopefully if she returns, her family's ability to do magic will return to her as well.
Got it. Okay. See, that makes sense. So now in the next season, no one magical is going to be able to go to Mystic Falls. So Matt and Tyler are going to have to deal with Mystic Falls on their own, while, like, everyone else is basically, I assume, going to be at Whitmore.
And Jeremy and Alaric? Question mark?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is Alaric a vampire?
Alaric returns as an original vampire.
Okay, yeah. So
he's going
to
be the thing that he was before he died.
But as far as we know, Jeremy should be able to be in Mystic Falls.
Yeah, because he's not
a hunter anymore.
And even if he was a hunter, he didn't have to die to become a hunter. So he'll be A-okay.
His tattoos might just disappear.
Yeah.
and
he's going to have to rip off his shirt, Hulk style.
Okay. No, but yeah. So we'll see the three boys maybe in Mystic Falls, but the rest of it, everybody's going to be outside of it because they literally cannot be there, which is heartbreaking a little bit because Mystic Falls has been the center of all of this, but maybe it's about time. You know, we kind of saw it last year with the college, but now, maybe since they're forced out of it, we'll get a new, like, home base, and that'll be a nice change, too.
See, like, this is one of my favorite things about the Vampire Diaries, is that, like, the mythology is, like, so, like, you can just talk about the mythology for so long. Like, it's so in-depth. You can, like, talk about switching on your emotion switch. You can talk about, like, dropping the veil and, on the like, what's on the other side and, like, all of this stuff. Because it's, like, so interesting. And so many things could be a possibility. So I really like that a lot. That's why it's one of my favorite shows.
Totally true.
So let's talk about summer announcements. This includes trailer news, casting news, and storylines. It's a bit spoilery, so if you don't want to be spoiled, like, whatsoever, like 0% spoiled, then you might want to stop listening. They're not heavy spoilers, like, they're not,
I was going
like...
to say, that being said, it's nothing we know.
Exactly. Like, they're all, it's all speculation and just casting news, like yeah. What actors got cast.
There's no, like, I have no idea what's going to happen in the pilot, and I can't tell you. So trust me, I can't actually spoil you.
Yeah. But, like, we know that there are people out there in the world who are like, nope, no spoilers whatsoever. So this is your warning.
Yep. You might want to skip to the originals.
The season 6 trailer was amazing.
It was.
It was short, but it was amazing.
Right. And I'm sure we'll get a longer version of this. Cross my fingers in the next like week or two, because we're building up towards the premiere now. I kind of like the Olena is a drug addict. Like, it's kind of weird, but she's grieving, and one of the things that you do is you try and find any way to reconnect, especially in a world where death hasn't been like certain in the past. And she's trying to reconnect to Damon. She wants to find a way to see him and find a way to talk to him. And so she, you know, goes to magic and finds a way to kind of be a magic drug addict. And I kind of like it, though. It's a realistic way to grieve.
It's it's almost too predictable, I feel like. Just the fact that, well, not the whole magic drug thing, that was weird. Just because last season, at the end of last season, Julie Black was like, well, season 6 is going to have a time jump, and some characters are going to want to find Damon, and some characters aren't. And I had predicted at that moment that it was Elena wanting to find Damon, and Stefan not wanting to find Damon. And as I predicted in the trailer, Stefan's like, you have to let him go. And Elena was like, no.
And so. Caroline is just like, meh.
Yeah.
Whatever. Find him. Don't. I don't care.
But what's interesting to me is that we got to see Damon in the trailer. Like, I didn't expect that at all. But, like...
But did we see Damon?
Like, is it, like, a hallucination?
Is it the figment of Elena's drug-induced craziness? Or is it the actual Damon?
I want it to be actual Damon, but I have a feeling it's his drug-induced craziness, Damon.
Yeah. I mean, we know we're going to see actual Damon and Bonnie at some point, so it's not a lost cause. But I have a feeling that the majority of the Damon we saw in this trailer is Elena's version of him, like the one that exists in her brain that she's trying to connect to, she's trying to find a way back to, and that's... It's so sad, but it's, you know, it is. It is what it is.
And one thing that everyone is, like, really conspicuous about is... Not conspicuous. I don't know if that's the right word. They're really curious about, I guess is the right word.
Suspicious.
Suspicious, yes.
That's the word you were looking for.
Is who Elena's pushing, like, at 11 seconds into the 30-second trailer. And I feel like it's... I thought it was Jeremy for a second, but everyone else is saying it's Luke. And Luke is going to be part of this new season. Luke and his sister aren't going to be gone, which is a surprise because a lot of people are like, oh, they're probably going to be dead because they're new.
And it's nice because I liked them.
Yeah, and well, like, I love them together, and I love Luke because he's the only gay character, and he didn't have a gay plot line last season. So I'm like, are you sure he's gay? Because there's nothing...
No, he didn't have a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
There were a few things going on, you know. There's not exactly time for making out with
the
boys.
There's always time for making out with boys. No, so I'd asked Julie Plec at Comic-Con specifically, like, what about Luke? Because you finally have a representation of the LGBTQ community, and I'm just worried that he's going to be gone because new characters tend to not live very long in Mystic Falls. And she was like, we definitely have plans for Luke, and we're trying to find a story that puts him organically into Mystic Falls without like really forcing it on anyone. And so we're having trouble just kind of like figuring out where he's going to be, but we definitely, he's going to be, Luke and his sister are going to have quite the interesting storyline this season as well. So that's going to be interesting. So it comes to no surprise that he would be the person in the trailer that Elena's pushing around. I feel, well, because like since Bonnie's gone, Luke and his sister are the only witches they have to work their magic.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I could see it being Jeremy if, you know, if everyone's trying to get her to move on, because I'm pretty sure that's probably how it's going to be going. You know, Stefan's telling her, he's gone, honey, you know, like you ha I miss him too, but we have to move on. And Caroline's telling her the same thing, and Jeremy comes in the room and says the same thing, and she just can't take it anymore. You know, I can see her shoving him across the room and being pissed, but I can also see it being Luke, especially if she's looking for drugs and can't get them. Like, that would be, you know, you'd push her over the edge. So it could be either, but I'm sure we'll see that either in the pilot or pretty soon after, so.
I'm just really excited because I love Luke a lot.
Yeah.
The next story we have to talk about is a bit of like speculation, basically, is according to E! Online, one of the three main cast members have not signed on for season 7. And even though season 7 has not yet been announced, they always like work on their contracts like ridiculously early in case like they do get renewed.
Yeah.
However,
And they've all been signed for season 6 from the beginning. They
yes.
were all they are all contracted for 6 seasons, so they've never had to worry about it before. But now they're renegotiating to figure out how many seasons we're doing after this, if we're doing any or whatever. And it, you know, and it makes me worry.
Yeah, because that's we don't know who on the trio has not signed on, because two of them have. Two of them are definitely staying, and depending on who it is, they can still go on, even if only two of them stay on and one of them leaves. The Julie Plec said that the show will go on as long as the actors want the show to go. So if the majority of the actors are like, yeah, sure, I'm sure they'll just figure out a way, even if one person's like, nah. So the issue here is trying to figure out who it's going to be. I feel like it can't be Nina, because if Nina isn't doing it, then the show is just going to be like done, because like you can't have a show without Nina. Like,
Yeah, I at my first gut instinct when I read this was to be really scared and really sad because I thought it was Ian. But the more I've thought about it, I don't think Ian would abandon Damon on the show. Like he really, really loves Damon as a character. Like he's loved him from the start. He's been fully supportive and behind that character from with everything he does. Like he knows that character inside and out. And I just can't see him abandoning it without a really good, solid conclusion for Damon. So if at the end of season 6, if, you know, Damon were to die heroically or something crazy, I could see that being the end for his character. But he's so beloved and everyone loves Damon. Even if you don't like Damon and Elena, a lot of people can appreciate that Damon is a really great character. I can't see them moving forward without him. Like it just, which makes me believe that it's Paul that is trying to
Yeah, and
possibly.
Paul is just, he's so done. He's so done, and it's so clear because like you should have seen his face at the roundtables at Comic-Con, because like he wasn't excited, but he wasn't like pissed. He was just like, okay, gotta answer another repetitive set of questions for this stupid character. All right, let's
Well,
go.
it's kind of a
Like,
double-edged sword because as an actor, you want to be a working actor, and you know, it's like kicking the gift horse in the mouth to to hate a character that's been around for six seasons and to be like, okay, I'm ready to move on, like I'm done. But and people always seem to get angry about that. But at the same time, I can see it. Like Stefan had some really amazing arcs with, you know, with the whole like, is he good? Is he bad? Is he Ripper? Is he not? And then the Silas stuff was kind of cool because we got to see Paul like get into this twisted, crazy, psychotic character. So that was all really neat. But last season was a real struggle for Stefan. Like, I can see why he would be a little frustrated.
It's just interesting.
It's not set in stone. This was just, they were talking about contracts, yeah. And this came out. And so we're not saying he's not coming back because we have no idea. But they're going to be negotiating and figuring all that out. So I'm sure we'll know.
Yeah, and I tried to get an update. I tried to look on ELNine and see if they updated their article, but they have not yet. So as far as we know, they're still in negotiations, but we'll be sure to keep you guys in the know if that changes.
And they are all signed on for this season. So season six will have everyone in it, matter what.
Also, I just wanted to share this funny story about Comic-Con that you reminded me of. When Ian came to our table, I brought up the possibility of, like, hiding in ISF or, like, just the letters ISF somewhere in Mystic Falls or something to, like, give his campaign a cross-promotion with the show.
Anyone who's not sure, ISF is the Ian Somerhalder Foundation, and he does a whole lot of charity work, in case you're not familiar with it.
Sorry.
That's
my
bad. No, it's okay.
and he loved the idea, and then he just started talking about how he kind of was, like, hoping for, like, Damon to be more like him in the series. He approached Julie Plec at some point when he had his, like, really, like, old classic car. He was like, Julie, like, can we get Damon to like drive a hybrid or something, because I feel like this vampire like driving who's been alive on this earth for so long and seeing how the world is deteriorating would actually care about like the ecosystem and the planet, and I feel like Damon would just like he would be driving a hybrid, like he would be driving something eco-friendly and like just like there's no way that he wouldn't be into this. And Julie was like, no.
Aw, bad boy Damon wants to save the world. Sorry, Ian. It's cute. It's really cute.
Right? It's adorable. And it's just like, oh, that's amazing. I'm kind of glad they didn't go that route because I love Damon the way he is. But that would have been hysterical if you see Damon driving a Prius.
Well, it wouldn't have stopped there. It would have been Damon saves the world. So you would have had him like picketing it. You know, some crazy air pollution thing, and like, you know, Damon the social justice like guru. Like, it would be hilarious. I oh my god, that would be a really funny short, though,
right? That would be an astounding short. See, now I'm just like, I'm gonna be on the lookout for like ISF throughout all of season six.
See if he sneaks it in there,
or at least past season four, because they were filming episode 4, because they're filming that episode when they went to Comic-Con. So,
gotcha. Yeah.
Anyway, next up on our discussions is, I think we're going to just move on to the synopsis so we can get over and talk about the originals, because we are 40 minutes into the episode.
Okay, I know, but we need to take 30 seconds and talk about Matt, because about it. Kind of already talked about it, but I am so excited about Matt this season. And I promise we'll keep this brief. There's a new character called Trip who's going to be showing up in Mystic Falls proper, like in the city. And since we know that the Supernaturals aren't there, we know that he's not a supernatural character. He's just a guy. And he's going to be causing a lot of problems with Matt and making Matt like resort out his priorities. Like, he's gonna have to look at his supernatural friends and say, you know, I want them back, they're my friends, I love them, but is them returning to Mystic Falls the best thing for Mystic Falls and for the, you know, the humans that live here? We finally have a safe haven from all of this crazy. Is this a good thing? And I'm so excited to see his character have a real like arc and to have some real tension that's all his own, because we've seen him have little things here and there, but I'm so excited for Matt's story this season, and I really, really hope they do it justice, because he's been in the, you know, in the picture for so long, but not really the focus of anything, and this is a really, really great opportunity for them to really give Matt his due and really give him a great story.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. I feel like it's about time that he gets a story other than just the human friend that has to do with the supernatural crap and that, like, people feed on randomly when they're, like, yeah, about to, like, die. So, I completely agree.
Yeah, and as far as, like, the other casting goes, because we know about Trip, he's this, you know, new, not deputy, but he's, like, working in the law enforcement field, and he's going to cause problems for Sheriff Forbes, and he's going to cause problems for Matt, so he's going to be a really interesting character, and there's a lot of new faces that we don't really know anything about.
Yeah,
we just know they're going to be there.
Five new characters are going to show up, at least.
So, check out Hypeable. We have a post that has what we know about them, but we really don't know anything. Like, it's just, these people are going to be here. We have no idea what role they're playing, but we'll see them.
And
so
four of them will probably die.
Probably, because that happens. So make sure to check that out if you want to know about the new characters.
So moving on to the season six synopsis, to get everyone really excited about what season six is going to be about. I'm just going to read out the synopsis for the first time, mind you. So if I screw up, I apologize.
And by the way, both of the synopsis for Originals and Vampire Diaries has a very long paragraph at the beginning that summarizes kind of what happened last season. So when you see the synopsis for season six, it looks really long, but there's only like one paragraph that gives us new information. So we're just going to start right on that.
Exactly. We're not going to recap it because we should all pretty much know. And also I'm going to be working on a couple articles to make sure that we all have a refresher in our heads once before the season starts. So,
okay.
Now, months after this devastating tragedy, what is a tragedy? Let me try that again. Now, months after this devastating tragedy, everyone is dealing with the loss of their loved one in different ways, some more destructively than others. What happened to Bonnie and Damon, and if they can even be saved, remains a mystery. Meanwhile, their beloved hometown of Mystic Falls continues to be a magic-free zone, protected by a mysterious new community watch program. If there's any hope of salvaging their former lives, our heroes must find a way to push through their grief and band together. This season will explore themes of loss, denial, and what it means to move on in the face of immortality, ultimately begging the age-old question, can you ever really go home again? Dun, dun, dun.
It's a great way to structure this season, though, because it looks like rather than having some big bad in the first 12, at least, we're going to be just focusing on what is home and, like, what do we want and do we want to go back and should we go back? And that's they're really great questions to have them asking. It's just cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to have them focused on the now and focusing on the present and what's happening in their lives as opposed to a new threat and what that new threat could do. Like, I'm just so grateful for it.
Yeah, rather than trying to up the ante and get a bigger big bad, let's kind of pull the reins back, and I really, really like it. I think it's going to be a really great season, definitely.
So what are you hoping for the season? Because there are a couple of different things that could happen, one of which is Enzo being back. I don't know how I feel about Enzo. I like Enzo, like, as a character. I don't like Enzo in the lives of my other favorite characters. So part of me wants him to go away, but the other part of me wants him to stay.
Well, considering the other side is gone, and he spent some time over there, and he returned, which is kind of the deal that I think Damon made him, was that he would get him back, and he's back. However it happened, he's back. So I'm hoping that maybe Enzo will kind of mellow a little bit and maybe be a help to some of the other people rather than, like, being a colossal hindrance, because that's basically been his role up till now. But I'm interested to see how he gets along with Alaric, too, because...
Oh, he and Alaric are not going to get along very well.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're both big fixtures in Damon's past. Like, they've both had very substantial roles in who Damon is and what's gone on, but they kind of are like opposites if you think about it, because Enzo kind of started Damon down this horrifically dark path, and Alaric is the one who kind of brought him back to the light. Like, so that's kind of a really cool thing. I can't wait to see how they interact, because that's going to be a really interesting
Julie Plex said that girl. It was going to be really fun.
Oh yay.
Yeah.
Yay! Fun Alaric. Yay!
They're not going to have the best like tensions. There's going to be tension between both of them, essentially, is what's going to happen.
Good. So,
yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Now, Stefan and Caroline, do you want them to be a couple or just friends? I want them to be a couple. Some people just want friends.
I just want them to be happy. Poor Stefan has had so much trouble. I just want him to be happy. If he, you know, I'd like them to kind of take some time and make sure that they're both okay with Damon being gone and helping Elena. Like, I kind of want them to take a second and just make sure that they're both fully committed to this, and then by all means dive in. By all means be a couple, by all means make out. I'm totally fine with that.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, we need to get a, like, a kiss. Like, they need to kiss at some point.
Yeah. A proper...
Yes. Even if they don't decide to go on with the friendship, like, just kiss. Just once. and the question that everyone really wants answered is, will Alaric and Damon be in the same dimension ever? And I feel like the answer is yes.
This is the question I want answered. Let's face it. I'm the one who stuck it in there. No, so many people were devastated when Alaric was gone, because it meant no more Damon and Alaric. And they were such a great part of, you know, seasons 3 and 4, and them getting to be friends and figuring all that out was so great that we've all been missing it. I know. And so I'm really, really excited that they're finally both on the show. But now, how long do I have to wait to see them in a bar drinking whiskey again? Like, we've talked about this, but I'm telling you, it's the hope. My only hope is that before the end of before mid-season, before December, we get the two of them in a room and they're in the same dimension and can see each other and talk to each other, and they have whiskey. I need this in my life.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to happen. It's got to happen, right? You can't bring Alaric back without bringing, like, drinking buddies back.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So that's it for the Vampire Diaries portion of the episode.
Originals time!
Yeah, it's time to talk about the originals. And we're going to do the same basic formula. So we're going to talk about last season and all the major plot points from last season. We're going to talk about all these summer announcements, which include trailers and news, as well as a synopsis and what we want to see. So let's get started. I wrote this as a point because I don't remember, and I'm hoping you can track by memory, but the feud between Marcel and Klaus, is it getting worse or is it getting better? Because I completely forgotten what happened between both of them.
At the end of season 1, we saw that Marcel was instrumental in saving Hope. Like, he was the one who kind of actually brought her out of the danger zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marcel ultimately had a huge role in saving the baby. And that, for Klaus, I think, is going to be massive. Because, you know, as soon as Klaus saw that kid, as soon as he saw his own child, you saw the change. Like, he's not going to not be Klaus, but he has something else.
His priorities changed.
Yeah. He has something else to be fighting for rather than just his own power and his own dominance. Like, he wants to protect this little baby, and it's so cute. Oh my God, I can't even handle it. But him and Marcel, they're not really, like, working together, but they're not, like, blood enemies, because Marcel doesn't remember the Hope stuff, because in order to keep her safe, Klaus had to take the memories from him.
So what does he remember, though?
Because as far as we know, Marcel knows that something happened and the baby is dead, quote-unquote, to everyone in the quarter. Like, as far as anyone who's not an original family member, Hope died.
I feel like that would have been the perfect opportunity for him to have been, like, for Marcel to, like, been like, oh, and you don't hate me anymore, ever. Like, so stop trying. Like,
Yeah. But when we start the season, Marcel is not going to be in the quarter. He's on the other side of the river and he's hanging out, and I don't exactly know what he's got up his sleeve at that point, but him and Klaus are not like blood enemies, but they're not really allies yet either.
Okay, so they're more neutral than they have been in the past. They're like, yes. Okay.
It's not as volatile as it used to be.
It's been so long since I saw that season finale.
Yeah.
Next up is Rebecca leaving. Rebecca left at the end of last season, and she came back at the season finale to bring Hope with her, to take Hope wherever she went. But with some news that we'll talk about later, it doesn't look like she's going to be in much of season two. So I'm like, well, we need another original. And I'm like, well, who can that original be? And I'm like, it could be Cole or Finn, you know? Because, like, Chris and I, we had a discussion. As soon as the news came back out for the originals, and whether or not Cole would be back, like, that hasn't been announced yet. But, like, we're like, wait, didn't Cole, like, burn, like... Like, or no, like, Cole, like, got sucked into the void. But
no,
he didn't. Okay. We thought he did.
After talking to Julie Plec at Comic-Con, which was amazing and a highlight, I have to say, she kind of insinuated that anyone that they ever wanted to bring back from the other side, anyone they were considering bringing back, they had to do it now or forever hold their peace, because... this is the, you know, with the other side dying out, they had this last opportunity to bring everyone back. And so the way they're doing that is Esther, because she is kind of, she's, you know, kind of been hanging around, and we know at the end of the season that she is back. She brought with her whoever is coming back from the other side. We don't yet know if it's Cole or Finn or both or neither.
Cole, I swear to God.
But there's a very, very, very good chance that you will see one, if not both, of the original brothers.
What bugs me about this show is that it's called The Originals, and now, like, most of the originals are gone. So I'm hoping that changes in season two.
But, I mean, think about it. You've got Esther and Michael, who are the original parents,
yeah,
and they're both back this season.
And then you also have Klaus and
Elijah. And Rebecca's not gone. She's just not a presence.
She's just living her own life somewhere else.
She still exists, and she's taking care of Hope, and she's still instrumental in making sure that the baby stays safe. So she's not gone. She's just not present. So, I mean, she can still return at basically any time.
And, like, this show needs more women, I feel like.
We've got some badass ladies.
We've got, like, two.
No.
Three.
You've got Cammy and Davina and Haley. They're all pretty badass.
Okay.
And Esther now, kind of.
Okay, that's true. I'm still pissed about Sophie, man.
Yeah, I liked Sophie.
I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Haley's no, you're true. I forgot about Cammy and Davina.
Yeah, Haley's my girl. I love Haley, and I'm really, really excited for where they're taking her character.
I'm wondering what she's going to be now, like, her powers have changed now that, like, the baby's gone out of her, like, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy...
A lot of questions about what Haley is now, so... Now that she's not pregnant.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Now that she's not pregnant, she is going to turn on the full moons.
No, she's not. She is.
Yeah, she has to.
She's a hybrid.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's a hybrid, so she has the choice of whether or not she gets a turn.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not werewolf.
But she can turn now. Before, she couldn't turn during her pregnancy. So now we might get to see Haley as a wolf, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I've noticed that actually, like, in Vampire Diaries and the originals, you don't really get to see people turn into wolves as often as you get to see them turn into wolves on Teen Wolf. Like, it never happens.
Well, it's a little different. I mean,
yeah.
We have a lot of hybrids and a lot of vampires going on that that the werewolf thing is kind of secondary. It's not the main focus. Whereas Teen Wolf, it's the main focus.
Oh,
So
but
you're
there
gonna.
is, you didn't remind me of a main focus that we do have to talk about. It was the whole werewolf clan thing issue thing that I'd completely forgotten about until now.
You
So
mean the Guerrero
the
Wolves?
Guerrera wolves coming back.
Yes. I mean, we
So
don't really, again, we don't really know all that much about them. We know that they're, they were thought to be extinct, which they're not. They were all just kind of biding their time and waiting to enact the curse at the right moment. And now they've all enacted the curse at the very end of the season. And so now they're all these brand new werewolf crazies running around trying to run things, and it's going to
And
be nuts.
I think they're going to be against, because it was Marcel who drove them out of town.
Well, I think it was, yeah,
It
Marcel, and I think maybe Klaus had a hand in that.
was, did he? I don't remember.
I don't
No,
remember.
I don't think Klaus did, because Klaus was working, like, before Klaus had and his family had to run when the opera house burned. He and his brothers were working about making sure all of the races in New Orleans work together, because he was like, "Well, this is like beneficial to me because it means like I don't have to deal with fighting in my city." And so when he ran away, Marcel decided to take this into his own hands, and he decided to control the werewolves and the witches. He like ran the werewolves out of town, and he got Davina eventually to help control the witches. So I feel like it was Marcel who had driven the Guerrera werewolves out, which makes me feel like the Guerrera werewolves are going to be more on Klaus's side than on Marcel's side because
Oh
they
no.
want Marcel out.
Oh no. No. They don't like Klaus. They don't have any use for Klaus. I don't think the Guerrero Wolves are going to be taking the original side at all. They want control and they want to be in control, and they know that Klaus wants his city back. And it's not, I know. I don't think they're going to be working together against anything. I think if anything, it'll be the Guerreras versus everyone. Like that, they'll have their bone to pick with Marcel, but I don't think working with Elijah or Klaus is on their agenda at all.
Okay. No, you bring up a good point.
Like they want control. They have no qualms about saying we're in charge. If you're not with us, you're against us. And as far as we're concerned, nobody's with us. Like they're not playing games. So I could see them maybe finding an ally in the witches, since they were kind of on the receiving end of Marcel's whip, kind of over the last 100 years or so. But that would be it. I can't see them befriending any other supernaturals. Like the witches are useful, and we're kind of second class citizens under Marcel's reign, so I can see them teaming up, but that would be it.
Ah, okay, the button wouldn't unfreeze.
It's okay.
Yeah, I can see that. I let you see the thing that I love about this is that we both have points that we each know, and like both of us just talk, and like when someone is like, "I don't think so," but the other person's like, "No, it's like this." So like we actually work out really well together because we both bring out really great info.
Yeah. So that trailer.
Yes, the
All I can see,
trailer.
that trailer.
I'm very intrigued because the trailer doesn't show anyone else, like really in it. Like it doesn't show Cole or Finn, but it shows Michael. It doesn't show Esther, I don't think.
No. I don't think we're going to be seeing the Esther form that we know, like the actress that played her on Vampire Diaries. I don't think we're going to be seeing her right away. Esther has returned, but she's going to be taking a lot of other forms for a
Yeah, just
while.
like Sabine did, or
Yeah. So, I
Celeste.
mean,
Yeah.
she is Esther, but it's not the actress that we have seen before. So you might not recognize her. But yeah, no, I have spent. You know how Elena pushes that guy and there's a bunch of people wondering who it is? I spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out who shoves Klaus against the wall, and I could not figure it out. Like I spent a long bit of time, slowing it down, going frame by frame, and trying to figure out if who that was. I couldn't even figure out what their hair color was. Like, they're in shadow, and it's like
Oh.
it's not in focus because Klaus is in focus, so it's hard. I couldn't figure out if it was Elijah or Michael or if it was like Cole or Finn. It looks like it's a male. Like, that's the only clue I could figure out. Like, it didn't seem to be a female, but that's about it. So there's a lot of interesting going on in that trailer. I'm geeked about it because there's also the exploding window, and both Elijah and Klaus are standing there, and this window kind of implodes on them, and God knows what's going on there.
And then Haley's being like epic and just like
I'm, as I said before, I'm so excited about Haley.
She has a lot of like I don't know what the word is going to be, but she has a lot of fuel to keep her going this season, to keep her upset and keep her angry with everyone, 'cause everyone just essentially forced her to give up her baby. So it's going to
Well,
be
she knows that it's for the baby's best interest, but
yeah,
it's
but
still
like
hard.
even if you know, like, you have to do this because it's for the baby, like, she's still gonna be pissed that she had to do it, because if it wasn't for these idiots in New Orleans, then she would be like, well, I can keep my baby. So I feel like, oh, she's gonna have a vendetta out against anyone trying to hurt her family.
Well, and there's a line in the trailer that I love. I can't think of the exact wording now, but it's something like, I've got, a supernatural appetite for my anger or something like that. Like, she is going to be a real fireball, and I can't wait because she's been so subdued, and just she was pregnant, so she couldn't really do a lot. Like, she had to kind of just hang out at the homestead and wait for everyone to kind of save her. And now she's not pregnant, her baby is not here, she's angry, she's a hybrid. She's never, she never really wanted to be a hybrid, but she is in order to save the baby. So it's like Haley has a lot to handle and deal with, and I'm so excited to see her really get her fingers, her claws into who she is and what she wants, and it's gonna be so cool. I'm excited.
Ah, I just want a trailer that's longer than 30 seconds.
I know. I know. We'll get it. It's coming. Give it another week or so,
Also
and we'll start seeing
promotional like
these.
photos too. Like, I want those to come. I just
Yeah.
I'm
That
like,
again. That'll all start up in the next
you know,
because it.
I can't believe it's also like just September already and these shows are already coming back. Like, holy crap.
We have a month. I mean, it's they start the first week of October,
I know, but like
but it's gonna be full force in the next couple of weeks. We're gonna start hearing things and seeing things and getting ideas of what's coming up. And yeah, well, it's all starting now. We'll get a better idea of it all.
So let's talk about a piece of news that has me worried for Rebecca. Not necessarily worried for her safety, but worried for how often she's going to be on the originals, is because Claire Holt, the actress that plays Rebecca, actually got a spot as a series regular on a new show called Aquarius on NBC. So that definitely means that her schedule's not going to be as open as it needs to be for her to be featured regularly on the originals.
Now, that being said, Aquarius hasn't been announced. Like, it doesn't have a start date. It's not on NBC's fall schedule. So I don't believe it's actually actively shot anything yet. Like, she was cast, but I haven't heard anything about it. So my guess is that they're either going to use it as a mid-season replacement or possibly like have it start late spring and kind of be a summer crossover, like kind of mesh spring into summer. And so because of all of that, there's a good chance that if they need her, they can get her. Like, she was contracted for the originals before she ever got anywhere near Aquarius. And yeah, she kind of took a break last season. She was just kind of overworked. I think she's just stressed out. And so Claire kind of took some time for herself, and she seems to have, more. I think the passion will be back for Rebecca. It's just gonna, a matter of getting her on screen when they need her. But we probably won't be seeing her regularly. Like, I think she'll make reappearances here and there when we really need to see Hope, or hopefully they worked that out when she took on the new role on Aquarius. But I don't think she's gone. I think we'll see her again.
I have a feeling that she is going to be almost exactly like Matt Davis and Alaric on Vampire Diaries, where, like, they go off to do the show, and I feel like I have this feeling, I have, like, this, just, I don't know what, why I have this feeling, but I just have this feeling that her show isn't going to be successful, just like Matt Davis's show wasn't successful, and it's going to end, and she's going to be like, okay, I want to come back, and she'll be back for season three. Like,
we'll see.
I feel like Aquarius, it just doesn't sound good.
In all fairness for Matt, I think that Cult came along after he already had found out about Alaric. Like, I don't think they wrote Alaric off because he got cast in this other thing. I think they had made the decision to kill Alaric, and then he got cast. See, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in this case, she needed a break. Like, she has been playing Rebecca for so long, and she didn't expect to be playing this character for this long. Like, it all just kind of snowballed, that she needed to kind of take a step back. And I think she'll be back. I think she'll miss Rebecca, and she'll come back with a little more fervor for the character. Like, she'll be a little more excited about it.
I'm hoping, because
yeah,
the show needs Rebecca. Like, it needs her. So let's talk about some casting news.
Yes, casting news.
Oh, you're really excited, aren't you?
I can't even tell you how excited I am that Daniel Sharman is going to be on the Originals. When they announced it last spring, and I mean, this is kind of older casting news, but it's a big thing because he's going to be a really cool character, I think. When it was announced, Karen Rott, who does Teen Wolf coverage for us, she and I, like, I sent her a message and I was like, we stole him. And she's like, what? And I was like, we stole him. I loved him so much. I told Julie Plec and she stole him from Teen Wolf. And now he's going to be on the Originals. She was like, what? And I was like, yeah. I am so excited. I loved him on Teen Wolf. He brought a really fun energy to the show. And I think he's going to be bringing that same mischievous, you know, kind of a little bit flirty, a little bit awkward energy to the show. Like, I'm so excited. I can't even tell you.
I'm really hoping, like, that I know this is so random, but I'm really, really hoping that Caleb ends up with Josh.
He's not.
Oh.
I can tell you that right now.
Dang it!
At Comic-Con, the one thing that we kind of got hinted at about Caleb, which is the character Daniel Sharman will be playing, is that he and Davina kind of have a thing. It's not like they're together, but when he comes to town, one of the first people he kind of has an interaction with is Davina, and they kind of hit it off a little bit. So
got it.
That's definitely going to be a thing. He'll be friends with Josh then, hopefully.
I miss the whole point where it says he's wooing women in his character description. So,
bad. Sorry to burst your bubble.
I like Josh, so I'll talk about that later.
I was going to say, I can also tell you that writer's room loves Josh as much as we do.
Okay, good.
They've tried to kill him off like three or four times. Like Julie said, okay, and this is where Josh will die. And they all go, no. And she goes, what? And they go, no, Josh isn't dying. Not right now. We can't do that. So they love him just as much as we do. So you can, you know, rest assured that if Josh does die for some reason, it will be like worthwhile. Like it will be a really good scene.
Ah, they love him Josh too. He's so great. Now that we've talked about Daniel Sharman, let's talk about the synopsis for season two. Do you want to grab the synopsis for Originals?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Season 2 finds our heroes adjusting to a new status quo, with the newly empowered werewolves controlling the city and a myriad of unknown threats lurking. Though Klaus and Haley have vowed to scorch the earth in order to make New Orleans a safe home for their daughter, Hope, they also have inner demons to battle. After she adjusts to life as a hybrid, Haley experiences crippling rage and depression after saying goodbye to her daughter, and Klaus, who needs his strength now more than ever, finds himself regularly weakened as the werewolves use the moonlight rings forged in his blood. Elijah, finding himself isolated from his troubled family, sets out to destroy Francesca, guest star Peta Sargent, and her traitorous werewolves, the Guerreras, connecting with Marcel and his renewed vampire community in the process. Despite the dangerous climate of the city, Cammy recommits to her studies and to pursuing the life she wanted before she met Klaus. But the werewolves in the quarter aren't the only enemies preventing New Orleans from any semblance of peace. Unbeknownst to Klaus and Elijah, their ruthlessly devious parents have returned from the dead. Though their father, Michael, is controlled by Davina's magic, he remains ever intent on killing Klaus, even if he has to go through Davina to do it. Elsewhere, their mother, Esther, inhabiting the body of a teenage witch, is fueled by a consuming and twisted love for her children as she devises a disturbing plan to reunite her fractured family. A plan that involves untold torment, not only for the original siblings, but for any and all of their loved ones.
Yes!
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be amazing.
I fell in love with this show last season. I thought they did some really great things, and they have so much that they can do with it. I'm so excited. I'm so geeked.
I'm trying to come up with words for how excited I am, and I can't.
It seems like they have a really great idea of where they want to go this season. They have a really great plan with both Elijah or with both Esther and Michael making a resurgence into the story. It just brings back that whole family thing that they've been touting since day one, that the show is about family and it's about dealing with family and learning, you know, how to handle when your family isn't quite the loving brood that you want it to be, and, you know, new family members, and, you know, what is family, or, you know, are these friends that you have, you know, that you feel close to, are they a part of the family? Like, that whole thing. It's just coming back full force with the return of all of these other original characters that have died. So,
and it's so refreshing from the Vampire Diaries as well.
Yeah. Like, you've got some romance, because, I mean, you've got Elijah and Haley who are still dealing with all of that. And you've got a little bit of romance with, you know, Marcel and Rebecca. And you've got a touch of that, but it's not the driving force. And that's what's cool.
Yes, exactly. So, what are your hopes for the season, then? Like, do you think Haley is going to change? Like, her character is going to change a lot because she's a hybrid now than just, like, a pregnant werewolf?
I'm just excited to see her go from the protected to the protector. Like, she spent so much time last year being hauled up in corners and told she couldn't go anywhere, and she held the linchpin to success, or, you know, she having the baby in her was a huge hindrance for her as a person. Like, she couldn't do anything. This season, she's gonna be out working her magic and doing what she wants, and I am so excited about that.
She's going to kick some ass, and it's about damn, like, time.
Some serious ass, and I am so ready for it.
Not that she didn't kick ass before, but she's going to kick even more ass now.
Well, and we saw her on Vampire Diaries, like, she's conniving, and she, you know, she gets her way, and she was working her plot back then, and it's easy to forget that because we saw her last season just kind of sitting around all the time. I'm glad to have Haley back, and she's a hybrid, so she's just going to be a little crazy.
Next up is Davina. Our question is, Davina control Michael, or will Michael control Davina? And I feel like Michael is going to attempt to control Davina and succeed to some degree. But in the end, Davina is going to have the power until some moment where Michael and Esther reunite and they're going to be like, well, okay.
Well, see, she brought him back. And I think the season's going to start with Davina having some serious control over Michael. And it's just going to be a struggle of, he's not the kind of character that wants to be a puppet. He doesn't want to be used by people. But on the other hand, she gave him life because he was dead. So I'm really intrigued to see this young girl and this like 1,000-year-old vampire do battle. Like, I'm really geeked to see how that plays out this season.
It's gonna be interesting. I like don't know what else to say other than that's gonna be interesting.
It's true. I mean, we don't really know a whole lot. We just, you know, we know what we found out at Comic-Con and little tidbits here and there, like the trailer, but we don't know a whole lot of what's going on this season. So it is kind of a big question mark still.
What's also a big question mark, it's like not big, it's like medium. It's like big to me, but not big to like anyone else. It's like, I wonder if Josh and Davina are going to have more scenes next season, because I love them together so much. I love them so much.
Well, I asked a question about Josh at the roundtables, and the only response I got was, oh yeah, Josh will be back. Like, Josh is around. We love okay. Josh. Like, don't panic. Josh is not, you know, disappearing or anything. He's there. Him and Davina are cool. Like, I think I don't think they really knew what to do with Josh. He became a fan favorite character so fast. Like, everyone just loved him that it was like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, we'll keep him around, like, sure. So I think they're still deciding what Josh's role is going to be in all this, but for now he's just an ally for Davina. He's a really good friend, and I think he's going to be working with Marcel a bit, if I'm not mistaken, because wasn't he, if I'm remembering correctly, wasn't he outcasted with Marcel?
I think
it's like Marcel and Josh save the world, like the two of them working together. It's gonna be funny. I'm excited. It should be a good time.
Huh, it's gonna be amazing. And one of the last questions or predictions we have is wondering how long the Guerrero werewolves are gonna maintain control of the quarter, and I feel like it's not gonna last very long. I feel like they like might start the season with them being really successful in their like reigns and their control, and then like a few episodes in, Klaus and or Marcel are gonna be like and start wreaking havoc.
Well, I mean, we do know that there's gonna be a bit of a time jump, if I'm remembering correctly. It's not gonna, you know, we're not starting the day after Hope left. Like, I think we're gonna have a couple of months that they've been dealing with the quarter. So it's been a little while. I think we'll see just how powerful they are and how well they've maintained control and what's going on. I hate the Guerrero Wolves. I hate them so much, but they're a really good villain. Like, they've been sitting on the sidelines and plotting and planning for so long that I feel like they have to have a plan in place for being in control. Like, they have to have some idea of how they were going to keep their power. So I'm personally hoping that it lasts longer than just a couple of episodes. Like, I hope that them and the power struggle between Klaus and Elijah and the Guerrero Wolves, I hope that that's more of a season arc thing. Like, I'd like to see it take a little while.
So,
well, I don't like them either, but I think you're supposed to not like them.
I know, but I don't like them so much to the point where, like, I just don't want them to be in the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you've got them in power, and you've got Esther and Michael wreaking havoc, and you've got the witches, you know, and doing their thing. There's a lot of different parts to this, you know, clock that is New Orleans, and they're just going to have to kind of figure out what they need to make it work. Like, it's really interesting because there's so many different sides to this. It's not just good and evil, right and wrong. Like, there's the werewolves and the witches and the Guerrero Wolves and the, you know, the original family, and it's there's all kinds of crazy. So I'm really excited about season two. It sounds like, from the impression I got at Comic-Con was that they've got some really great stories to tell, and they're really excited about it. Michael Narducci, by the way, as an aside, he's the executive producer. He kind of works with Julie to direct the show. Like, he kind of gives he's kind of this co-showrunner kind of thing. He gives a lot of help. he was so adorable at the table. I maybe got three questions in with him in the same amount of time that we asked Julie, like easily a dozen, because they call him Professor Narducci. He just can't stop himself from just explaining. Like he has such a passion for the characters in the show. Like he loves it so much that he just wouldn't stop talking, and it was so adorable. So with them running the show, I'm hopeful that it's going to be an awesome season two.
It's. I'm just. I have so many words.
So many
I
words and
can't
none at
talk.
all.
No, I completely agree. Like, I don't know how many times I've said this on this podcast, but like, I'm just really looking forward to season two of the originals. Although I have to say, at this point, I love Vampire Diaries more than I love the originals, and I feel like it's the opposite with you. I feel like you're loving originals more than you are loving Vampire Diaries.
It's true. It's
So
true.
it's a
I
good
think that we
balance.
enjoyed. Yeah, I really enjoyed the originals, and I'm really geeked about where they're taking it. So yay.
That's about it for Vampire Hype episode 46. Do you have anything else you want to talk
Yay.
about?
Maybe just a little bit here. I know we were gone, and we know that we were gone, and we know that you missed us, and we're gonna do our very best to make this a regular scheduled thing. So keep a lookout. Once the season gets a little closer, we really want to get on a regular schedule again and be here every week. So keep an eye out for us, but we'll be back, I promise.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And if we have plenty of plans to get a couple of guest hosts on as well, so keep an eye
Yay.
out for that.
Should
If
be fun.
you ever want to get in contact with us, you can reach us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/vampirehype. We do have a Tumblr account, so you can message us on Tumblr. So it's vampirehype.tumblr.com. And I
Or on
believe
any of the Vampire Diaries or Originals posts, because we both write those, so we'll see it if you
Exactly. We'll
post it.
definitely see your comments. And I believe we also have an email, although we haven't used our email in forever.
I was gonna say, yeah, Twitter and the Hypable posts are probably your best bet to get in touch with us,
Yeah,
because we see them the
definitely.
most often. But definitely get in touch, because we want to know what you guys are thinking and what you want to see and, what you want us to talk about. Like, we want to hear from you.
And also, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes so other Vampire fans, Vampire Diaries fans can find us and listen to us. And that's just, Vampire Hype on iTunes.com. If you can give us a rating and a review, that would mean so much to us. Like, really. But with that's it for today. We'll see you at some point eventually, probably when the shows come back.
Or when we get some really cool new trailers or things. When we start to find
Exactly.
things out, we'll definitely be recording again.
Yeah. So I'm Kyle.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Woo!
Open your mouth, boy. Show me the tape. Show me what you got. Show me the tape.
Arr, arr.